Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, right now, I have a most fascinating author to share with you. She is Anita Dickerson. Anita is a retired police officer with 27 years of law enforcement experience, 22 with the Dallas Police Department. She served as a patrol officer, undercover narcotics officer, advanced accident investigator, and was a sniper with the Dallas SWAT team. Her first book, JFK Assassination Eyewitness, Rush to Conspiracy, is a nonfiction and details the reconstruction of a 1966 vehicle accident near Midlothian, Texas, that killed a key witness to the Kennedy assassination. The book was a springboard to a new career in her retirement, author and publishing consultant. As an author, she has always been intrigued with characters who have an extra edge, that ability to overcome adversity and danger. Add in her infatuation with Native American myths and legends in Scottish and Irish folklore, and you have the backdrop for her characters. Her law enforcement experience is the basis for her plots. The book Sentinels of the Night is the debut novel for the Trackers, an elite FBI unit. Each agent has a secret, that extra edge that defies reason and logic. The paranormal element was pulled from a Native American myth. Going Gone is the title of the second Tracker novel, and the third novel should be completed by the end of the year. The experience of writing led to a knowledge of self-publishing and graphic design and a new business endeavor, Mystic Circle Books and Designs, LLC. It is a toss-up of what Anita enjoys more, working on her books or helping another author publish their works. She has found an unexpected enjoyment in designing book covers, bookmarks, book plates, and so on. And she received the Literary Titan Gold Book Award for Sentinels of the Night, and her books are available at all retail outlets to include Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I am happy that she is available to us today, so let's bring her on. Welcome to the network, Anita.
Well, thank you so very much. I'm just thrilled, delighted to be here.
Oh, I'm delighted to have you as well. I'm so impressed by what you've done. It's just so very exciting. It's such a fast-paced and dangerous career, a sniper with the Dallas SWAT team.
That was probably the highlight of my career, was the years that I spent on the Dallas SWAT team. It was a unique experience, I'm glad I had an opportunity to experience what I did.
And now you're an author writing in the peace and safety of your home, I presume.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Retirement changes a whole lot.
Anita, what was it like, really, to make this dramatic life change?
Well, it was a tad bit more dramatic than what my little bio really indicates. I was a late bloomer for law enforcement. I have probably still the dubious honor of being the oldest woman to graduate the Dallas Police Academy. I didn't make the transition to a law enforcement career until my early 40s. And that in itself represented quite a challenge, not only from a financial standpoint, but also from the physical standpoint of what was required. I was working at the time for Electronic Data Systems, EDS, that was Ross Perot's company, and I literally took better than a 50% pay cut to become a police officer. But at the time, everybody thought I was nuts, and I would laughingly joke with them, no, I'm not. I took a psychological exam with the department, and I passed, so I'm not crazy. But it was a decision that, you know, was very risky at the time, but I'll tell you what, I had a phenomenal 22 years with the department, and I would do it again in a heartbeat if I could.
Wow, so impressive. Just that, I mean, we could stop right now, and you've just been an inspiration to anybody listening to say that, you know, you're in your 40s and you think, okay, I'm stuck doing what I'm doing, but to make that giant leap corporate into law enforcement is huge.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm impressed. I'm a fan.
Well, thank you so very much. It's interestingly enough, you did hit on something. The class that came in started about, well, I'm going to say 2 months after my class started with the Dallas Police Academy. There was a young lady in there that I met, and they had done an article on me shortly after I started the academy, and we had a reporter who was going through the academy with us. He was a reserve officer, but we'd had a number of very, very dramatic shootings where officers had been killed, and it was a pretty tense situation at the time that I was going through the academy. So they were doing stories every week, this reporter was, and he found out that I'd made this, you know, I'd gone from high heels and a business suit and a briefcase, you know, to these handoff of these secondhand hand-me-down uniforms that they had given us. And so they did an article. But this young lady that I met, she said, "You were an inspiration." She said, "I looked at that and I read it and I thought, she can do it, I can do it." Mm-hmm. And so she did the same thing. She was an older woman and she followed and had a very, very good career with the department. You know, it can be done. I've always believed that you can do just about anything if you set your mind to it, God willing.
Absolutely. I'm on that same page. Well, my hat is off to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, now, between law enforcement and living in Dallas, I'm sure that had something to do with it, but just tell us what caused you to tackle the writing of the book, JFK Assassination, Eyewitness, Rush to Conspiracy. What made you decide this is something I have to work on?
When I retired, it was like a speeding train all of a sudden coming to a halt, because there was, you know, so much with being with the department, and I was needing something to do. I'm a very energetic individual, and so I started my own accident reconstruction business, because I, like I said, been an accident investigator for a number of years, and I set up a website, and a company out in California spotted the website. And they were getting ready to do an episode or a new series, reality series. And their first episode was going to include a segment on Lee Bowers Jr. And he was killed 3 years later after the Kennedy assassination. But he was the individual that was located in the tower on Dealey Plaza. He worked for the railroad, had a bird's eye view of the whole thing. And there's been a lot over the years, conspiracy theorists that had built that he'd been killed because of what he saw the day that Kennedy was assassinated. And this film company was going to air a segment on it, and they were looking for someone that could come on in front of the camera and talk about the accident. At first, I was very reluctant to take on the project because of the very short time frame. They'd already had everything set up. They were going to be here in Dallas or in Midlothian, which is about 30 miles south of Dallas, to film this. They'd already received the permits from Texas Department of Transportation to shut down the southbound lane of the freeway coming out of Midlothian. And there just wasn't a lot of time for me to learn anything about this accident. I didn't feel comfortable standing in front of a camera talking about something that I wasn't familiar with. But they kept talking to me, and they said, "Well, at least take a look at the material." So they sent it to me. And in that, they had included a video that Geraldo Rivera had done back in the mid-90s. And he had run a segment on the same death of this of Mr. Bowers. And in that, there's a gentleman standing on the freeway pointing to this bridge talking about where this individual was killed. And I got to looking at that, and I'm looking at their location set up that they had sent up, where they were going to be located and how this was all going to do. And I'm going, they got the wrong location. That freeway and bridge didn't even exist in 1966. Matter of fact, the documents that I found at the courthouse later identified that Texas Department of Transportation hadn't even started to buy the land until after Lee Bowers was killed for that freeway expansion. So that's how I got involved with the whole thing. And the more I learned about it, the research that I was doing. I spent many, many hours at the county courthouse, at the Dallas Library, going through microfiche on justices of peace and just all kinds of elements that were brought into it. And I decided, you know, could I do a reconstruction of a 1966 accident? You talk about a cold case. This was the mother of all cold cases. And but what I found is that there was enough information that I was able to go back in time and actually examine, and everything had to be done in the conditions of 1966. To give you an example, the ambulances back then were owned by the funeral homes. They did double duty. They either loaded you and hauled you to the, you know, the funeral home, or they hauled you to the or to the hospital. Training was minimal. A lot of, especially in the more outlying areas, they the drivers had minimal training, if anything at all. They literally just picked you up, put you in, and transported you. So every single thing or element, piece of information that I came up with, it all had to be looked at under 1966 conditions. And it was an amazing project. And I wrote it, and I had such fun writing this that I thought, okay, now what am I going to do with it? And that was just kind of the starting point of the whole thing of getting into doing the writing, getting into the publishing side of it, the fiction came from a website that I found. A gentleman over in England runs a monthly contest. He puts up a picture, and you write a little 500-word story about it, and everybody's on the same page. And I thought, this looks interesting. Why not? So I did a little 500-word story on it, and I'll be darned if I didn't win third place. And I'll tell you what, I was hooked.
You were hooked.
From that point, it was, you know, forget the accident reconstruction. I found something that I enjoy. I didn't really think I would find anything in my retirement that I enjoyed as much as being a cop that I have. I absolutely love being able to write and to continue to develop my expertise and knowledge in publishing. It's fun. That's all I can say. It's a fun.
How exciting. I always love to hear a person's journey and how they get from one spot to where they are today. And that's just interesting that your background as an accident investigator helped you to write that book about JFK and wonder what you're going to do with that. And then it leads you to what you're doing now. Very, very exciting. Did the book, did that help to allay or quell some of the conspiracy theory thoughts after people read the book? Did they come to the conclusion, okay, this must be correct? Or is that conspiracy always out there?
I think the conspiracies are always going to be out there. You can never categorically, absolutely, 100% say this is what happened, because you're going back in time and trying to recreate something.
Right.
But I believe that, you know, there's enough to cause reasonable doubt, mm-hmm. that, you know, that maybe there was a little bit more one way or the other on that. You know, just the fact of finding the actual location where the accident happened, that was the big thing, mm-hmm. that I was able to do for the film company. Got them moved off the freeway, and there was, at the time of the accident, that stretch of roadway was just a county road coming out. It was just a two-lane road coming out of Midlothian. And Midlothian was just a little small community back in those days. And part of that roadway still existed. When they redid and built the freeway, they used part of that road as the service road. So there was still a stretch of the original highway, and that was probably the biggest thing that I did, was actually be able to locate the bridge was still there. And that added a great deal to the analysis of the accident itself, mm-hmm. and whether or not there, you know, he was poisoned or somebody ran him off the road. There was a lot to it,
sure.
that I was able to come up with. So.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Well, let's move from Midlothian to Native American myths and Scottish and Irish folklore. Where did your infatuation with Native American myths and legends and Scottish and Irish folklore come from?
Oh, something I've always loved. I just enjoy reading. I've been an avid reader all my life, and that is just something that I enjoy doing. And I've always gravitated toward books that have that little extra edge that gives somebody, you know, the ability to do something that is beyond, you know, the normal realm of what an individual can normally do. And so when I started with the writing, I said, okay, I'm going to write what I like to read. And that's basically what I've done. The interesting thing with Sentinels of the Night, I came across a lady. Her name is Alan C. Fletcher. She was born in 1838, I think, and lived until 1923. She was literally a woman ahead of her time in a man's world. She was an anthropologist. She was an entheologist, I think. Maybe I probably haven't pronounced that right. And she lived with the Native American Indians and translated the chants that they used in their dances and their ceremonies. And that's where the paranormal element for Sentinels came from. It was just fascinating. And I even used one of her quotes from her book at the start of Sentinels. What I'm trying to do is, within each of my books, is to find something that's a little different, not just your standard paranormal, but something that's going to give a little unusual twist to that element. And she was a delightful find. I purchased this book that she wrote back in 1900, and it was just fascinating to read the translations of all of these chants and the beliefs of you know, not only the Native American Indians, but also when you start reading about, you know, the Irish and Scottish folklore. It's a fascinating piece of history, I guess it's probably, and I've always been very fascinated with history.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a bit about the book Sentinels of the Night.
It creates a paranormal FBI unit, and each of the agents have a different talent. It's, even though they are the Tracker series, they're not a series per se in that you have to read one book before you go read the second one. Each book is a standalone book, but it still incorporates the elements of the Tracker novels. And Cat Morgan is the main character in Sentinels of the Night. It starts off with her in a foot chase in a railroad yard. And as you read my books, you would probably pick up on certain elements that, you know, I wonder if she did that. And I did. That foot chase actually took place. Of course, I didn't shoot anybody, and I wasn't chasing a serial killer. I was chasing a person that had stolen a vehicle and wrecked out and was on the run. But there's many elements within Sentinels of the Night. There's a segment where she is on a roof, and she's been put into a hostage situation, and she is a sniper. She is a certified sniper with the FBI. And so, again, there's another bit of personal experience that went into that particular scene. So there's a little bit of me and my experience level all through my books.
Sure.
Sentinels is the debut novel as far as the FBI trackers, and she's on the hunt for a serial killer.
And this is the book that won the Literary Titan Gold Book Award.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. How exciting was that?
It was very exciting. As an independent author and publisher, it's very difficult to get noticed, and especially when, you know, I'm a new author. You're trying to build a brand name. You hate to say you're a no-name author, but that's basically, you know, what it is. People don't know you. They don't know anything about you. You don't have an established base that someone walks into, oh, you know, I see that book. I'd like to read another one. And that takes a while to build that. And so to win an award, I have to say that it's right up there at the top. I've received some very good reviews on the book, and I think that winning that reward is right up there at the top, where I had a couple of people tell me that they read one book and they liked it so much they went and bought it and got the other book. And I think that's the highest compliment that a reader can pay an author.
Yes.
Because they liked one book so well, they went and got the other one. You can't get any better than that.
I agree with that, because there they do have a choice. They don't have to do that. And so that's
they do not.
Yep, that speaks volumes. And so your second book is titled Going Gone. Give us a little peek into that.
That is a high-profile political thriller, whereas Sentinels of the Night was more just based with Kat Morgan and the police chief that she encounters in this town where she discovers this first body. I went a little different direction with Going Gone. The paranormal in it is dialed back just a bit, just simply because the plot and the movement of the plot in this book was a lot faster paced than Sentinels. But it's about children of fairly high-ranking politicians that are being kidnapped. And the lead characters in this is Brian Barr. He's an FBI tracker, and he's also the profiler for the unit. And so he's being able to bring in that profiling element. And the other main character is an ex-homicide detective who has turned private investigator. She decided that she was going to make the leap from being a police officer with the Austin Police Department into private investigative side of law enforcement. And she finds one of these children. He's managed to escape his captors, and he's on the run and being chased. And so it's a little bit of a dramatic rescue there, but this was also a fun book. It brought in more of the trackers, and I'm using a technique. So far, it seems to be working very well, and it's shifting views, your point of view, not only just between the main characters, but also between the team in Washington and what they're doing, because this whole thing takes place in Texas, and so there is a movement back and forth, and tying all of this together as to who did what when got to be a bit of a challenge. And so I finally ended up setting a notebook beside my computer, and every time somebody would learn something, I'd write it down, so because I knew there'd be an Eagle Beagle reader somewhere that would spot a mistake. Wait a minute, he hasn't found out about that. They haven't told me yet. Type thing. But anyway, it was a very real challenge, this extensive shifting of the point of view between what was happening in Washington versus where the team is based versus what was happening with the team in Texas. It was a fun an approach. I really enjoyed doing it. So,
interesting.
But that there was more of that within Going Gone than what there was in Sentinels.
Mm-hmm. And now you're working on a third.
Any? Don't have a name for it yet.
Okay. All right, we'll just have to wait.
It's still titled No Name. again, about it's going to involve the trackers, and it'll take place primarily in Texas, but it's about a missing ATF agent.
Okay.
And that's probably about as far as I can go right now with because the whole plot line is still under development. I have found that my inspiration for my titles, if I just wait, as I'm working through and I'm typing and I'm building the plot and I'm writing, there's going to be a phrase or a word or something that's going to pop up and I'm going to go, there's my title.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, inspiration has not hit yet on this one. And so that's why it's still, my file's titled No Names, but hopefully I'll have one here before long.
I absolutely understand that. So Anita, also tell us about your book trailers. They are amazing, outstanding. Tell us the process.
This was one of the more fun part I have done in association with the book. And I tell you what, it's really been a motivator to get the third one done. They were amazing to do. I was able to utilize my graphics design And a lot of the images that are in there, well, I would say probably 90% of them, are what I either created or I found. The music, listened to I don't know how many soundtracks, trying to find the right music and whatnot to go with each one. It was a rather lengthy process, but I think the end result was absolutely amazing. And the individual that put all of this together was Thomas Anderson at Literary Titan. He is just truly phenomenal at taking the input that I gave him, all of these images and finding the background that we used for the Going On trailer, and just putting it all together and the transition with the slides. He did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I wanted in Sentinels, I wanted a voiceover at the very beginning of that that keys into Alice Fletcher's translation of the chant that I started with Sentinels. And he found the perfect voice for that voiceover. Mm-hmm. It was a fun, fun project. And I am just, you know, every time I watch one of them, I go, wow. I love him. Absolutely love him. He did a phenomenal job on putting it all together for me. I would recommend that to another author. You know, look at doing a book trailer for your book. It's a good way to promote them.
I said wow when I watched them as well. They were very, very compelling, and I'm glad we had an opportunity to talk about those today. So now you're writing your books, and you've been drawn into the business side of it and started a company called Mystic Circle Book and Designs. Why Mystic Circle?
Well, that comes back to my infatuation with Scottish and the folklore and all of that. It's just the mystery. If you look at my website, it's titled Unlocking the Power and Magic of Books. There can be so much that can come out of reading anything. And when you can get somebody and get their attention and they like what they're reading, it just opens up new worlds. And so that's where that mystic circle, you know, mm-hmm. kind of like the ball that a fortune teller, you
right.
know, that might use, the globe, you know, type thing. Mm-hmm. So that, it ties back to that infatuation of my paranormal.
Yep. No, that's what I thought. I just wondered what your reasoning was. And also then you offer author services. I saw you had some pre-made book covers. So why don't you just share what you could do for a fellow author?
I have found, and this was, again, coming out of the Bowers book, I was in that position of, okay, I've written it, what do I do now? And I think that's a question that every author ends up facing, especially in those early days of writing. You know, where do I go with it? And the publishing environment now is just in a constant state of flux. Every day something is changing and there's something new. It's very dynamic. And what it offers an author is unlimited opportunities to do something with their book. Whereas, you know, 10, 15 years ago, if you couldn't get picked up with a literary agent, you just didn't have any choices. Today you do. And along with those opportunities, though, there's a lot of landmines. And you can get off and lose money and you know, if you don't know how to structure the approach to doing publishing. And that's what I've built. Over the last 5 years is the research that I've done to build that knowledge. And at first it was for me, because after I published the Bowers book and I went through another company to do that, I paid them to publish it. I soon realized there wasn't anything that company did that I couldn't do myself. And so I started building on that knowledge, at first just for me, but as I got into it, people that I associate with, my writing group, Write On group, which is meets every twice a month here in Waxahachie where I live, there were authors there that had books, and they were in the same dilemma that I was in. So it was just another one of those things that you did one thing and it led to another and it led to another. I published one book and helped an author publish her book, and that led to another one. And it's just a matter of helping and sharing my expertise with somebody that is in that, okay, what do I do realm. I enjoy the graphic design. That has been an unexpected pleasure. I right now have 5 programs that I use on my computer. I had to buy a new computer last year because I didn't have enough oomph in the old one to drive the programs that I needed. And I could spend hours tweaking something. Yeah, the cover designs is now a big part of what I really enjoy doing. And I'll see something and I'll think, oh my gosh, that'll make a great cover. And so that's kind of where the pre-made have come from, that if somebody's in it, they look at it and think, you know, that would be a great one for my book. So yes, those are available, but I also do the custom work well. I just finished a children's book for an author, and that was a real challenge because it was the first time I'd had an opportunity to work with an illustrator. And it was because it was completely, fully illustrated. So that was a challenge, dealing with the illustration. So it's a lot of fun.
And what is the website folks can go to learn more about you, to purchase your books and your business as well?
It's www.anitadickason.com. Okay. The last name is D-I-C-K-A-S-O-N.
Right. AnitaDickason.com. Well, we've covered quite a bit today, but is there anything we missed that you would like to talk about?
No, but I would certainly encourage anyone that has an interest in writing, do it. Just sit down and start writing, and there's lots of resources at your local libraries and whatnot. This is a fun time to be an author. And whether you do it yourself or whether you're working with an agent, there are so many opportunities that are there. So if this is something that you've always wanted to do and it's your dream, man, go for it. Because you can do it. It's possible. It's doable.
Well, you surely are an example of that throughout your entire life, whether it's SWAT team or writing. You are an amazing, amazing woman. AnitaDickason.com. Anita, I was so looking forward to this conversation today, and it's just been a thrill and a pleasure to have you. Thank you so much.
Well, I certainly enjoyed it and appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.